Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation, folks. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. What an amazing show we've got for you today, folks. Tonight on the conversation, we have a new burger dictator in the house. Yes, Kim Jong-un is considering putting in a fast food, like, burger place for his people. I guess he's a big fan of them. As many of you know, Kim Il-sung was the highest purchaser of Hennessy Cognac, had a 2,000-plus private title movie collection, and his people had nothing. So, we'll see if this is, if they're going to have a burger dictator. Can't call it Burger King because he's a dictator. We'll have to wait and see on that one. It's a day late and a dollar short, but thank God Harvey Weinstein has been indicted by a grand jury on Wednesday on first and third degree charges of rape and criminal sexual acts in the first degree. Yay. U.S. Marine Corps in Afghanistan has said that they have killed dozens and dozens of Taliban leaders last week. And according to many top general, there are many top officials, they claim it's up to 70 high-ranking officials. So thank you, Trump, for what you're doing. Twice deported man fled the scene of a crash with his 2-year-old son in the car, leaving a 17-year-old Texas girl dead. Explain to me why we need sanctuary cities. Medical marijuana has just been made federally legal. I'll explain how that's happened and many more things have happened. It's due to a little known thing that Trump just passed, the Right to Try Act, that says if you're dying, you have the right to try experimental drugs, and if you're willing to take the risk and you're going to die anyways, you can bypass the FDA 30-year trial program to try to get these medications, and hopefully they help you. And if not, you're going to die anyways because you're terminally ill. So, also, ABC News is expected to lose tens of millions of dollars after getting rid of its famous show, most popular show, Roseanne. I want to get into a little bit of that, a little bit more of that, you know, because people keep asking me this and that and questions and that. Trump has now come out and said that he wishes that if he knew what he knew now, he would have never had Jeff Sessions as his attorney general. That was one decision I did not agree upon, and now Trump sees it. Also, if you haven't heard, Hillary Clinton, if she could be the CEO of anything, she would be the CEO of Facebook, because it is the number one place to get news. I don't remember the exact number, but I talked about this in the conversation many times, that when Jon Stewart did The Daily Show, I think it was like 75% of the college kids got their news and information from The Daily Show. They didn't watch like Fox News or NBC or ABC. They got the news and found out what was going on around the world from The Daily Show. And it was like 75%, I think. It was really high. But, you know, she wants to control the information and let you hear only what she would deem you hear. Not that she's going to be the CEO, but that's what she'd want to do, so she can control the flow of information. That and some surprising news out of Spain. I'll get into that also. Remember, Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Think about that as you're going through your day today. And thank you so much for tuning in. It's just crazy. I want to get into this kind of first because I get a lot of people, you know, about the Roseanne thing, and you know, people still ask because like there's this photo that's going around that's obviously photoshopped where it has Whoopi Goldberg with the shirt that has like Trump shooting himself with a gun and says "Make America Great." It's obviously CGI'd on the shirt, but the point of the shirt is if you look at The View, they say 5 million times worse stuff than Roseanne Barr ever would. And no one really bats an eye. I'm glad when Kathy Griffin had that decapitated head of Trump, he then got rid of her. I'm glad. That's a good thing. But also at the same time, you could sit there and say, well, you know what? Was it wrong that she did it? Is that totally inappropriate? Yes. Does she have the freedom of speech to do it? Yes. Not that I would want her to do it, but, you know. But you have this generation that's like, well, I'm going to burn the American flag because I have freedom of speech to do it. Well, you know, that gives you the freedom. You know, the Second Amendment gives you all of the freedoms. It does. I mean, Keith Olbermann, if you follow him on Twitter, he is throwing F-bombs left and right. And no one cares. No one cares. And then you have people on the left that are saying, well, you know, it's coming from the top. It's coming from Trump. Trump is is responsible for all this. No, we have to take personal responsibility. Oh, well then should we blame Obama for Black Lives Matter and all that fiasco? Because we should. Because he's responsible for it. Because there was no Black Lives Matter when Bush was in office. The problem I see in this country is you have people like Al Sharpton and these race baiters that are pushing this. We're a log, and they're trying to split the log and divide us. And they're trying to push and shove this racism down our throat and this divide down our throat that Trump is trying to, they're trying to open up the wound that Obama opened, and Trump's trying to close the thing. And that's the problem. They're trying to push this racism card and all this racism crap down our throats. And it's, you can say what you want, but until a liberal show gets taken off the air, I'm sorry. Why isn't anything done about Keith Olbermann and his F-bomb tweets? Now, if we complain and bitch and piss and moan, they'll do something. Like, if everyone just ignored Kathy Griffin, I don't think she'd have been fired. It was everyone being outraged and calling it a double standard. And when we finally voiced our opinion and most of America was so outraged, CNN felt like, well, we got to look like we're, you know, we got to pretend like we're cleaning house. That's all I honestly think it is. I think every once in a while, like every 3 or 4 years, they'll take one politician that they sacrifice to make it look like they're cleaning up Congress. And that's the problem here. We have someone like Al Sharpton. I don't trust anything out of his mouth. Was there racism in this country? Was there discrimination with things? Sure there was. Nothing like it was when Obama came in. It got 100 times worse. And I've heard that from Black people. Not, you know, I try to get from the horse's mouth is what I try to do when I do what I do, because I'm one of those people that I don't want to know, okay, was the bombing in Syria great? Was it a good thing that we did that? I don't know. I don't live there. Let me ask the people who live there. Let me talk to a true Black person that actually has the mind to think for themselves. that actually uses their brain to think for themselves, not have the Democratic Party tell them what to think. And a lot of them said, you know, I feel more weirded out with race now than ever. I never felt like I was like a outcast kind of person. But now all of a sudden, ever since Obama's, you know, now it's like, oh, now we're all of a sudden majorly discriminated against. See, the problem we have, folks, is like, I could respect Black Lives Matter if they looked for the truth. And they said, yeah, you know, okay, we looked into this case and he didn't have his hands up. You know, the cops were in self-defense, you know, and, you know, are bad. We're going to talk to these people who were basically, well, I saw him shot from, he had his hands up and all this stuff. You know, when the forensic evidence came out in that St. Louis area trial, and, well, no, the forensic evidence doesn't match what you're telling us. You want to start over? Oh, I just heard people say that, so I'm just agreeing with what everyone else said. I didn't see anything. You know, if they would have taken those people and said, hey, man, no, these are the cops. They're trying to do an investigation. You got to be honest, you know. But when they don't have evidence, they don't have nothing, or if a white person's there marching with them, they're like, oh, man, if you want to go somewhere, take this kid with you. You'll be protected by his white privilege. That's when, wrong. When that Colts player was killed and Black Lives Matter didn't show up, why? Because it was illegal that did it. Well, they could have claimed he was a white Mexican. This is some pretty good news. Harvey Weinstein was indicted by a New York grand jury on rape and criminal sexual acts. Awesome. This is finally. Disgraced producer Harvey Weinstein was found guilty and indicted by a grand jury on Wednesday on charges of rape, first and third degrees, and first degree sexual criminal act charges. This is according to a statement from the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance. The former movie mogul who decided not to testify could face more than 37 years behind bars if found guilty. It's going to be, he did post $1 million bail. And I think he's going to be found guilty. I mean, all the evidence stacks up against him. So I think this is a good thing that he's been indicted, and I think it's going to move forward. And it's nice to see that, because I wondered if anything would ever come of it, or if he would just kind of just like go off into the sunset like Gene Autry and, you know, Grace Kelly. We'll just have to wait and see what comes out of it. But I mean, basically, he would, if he gets the time that I think he would get, he'd die in jail. I love this. I put this on my Facebook, and this is how I see. This is the truth. This is the 5-point Democratic agenda. This is why people are so fed up. This is the five, and this is even some of this. Is number one is some Republicans too, impeach Trump. Number two, raise taxes. Number three, shield illegals. Number four, gun control. And number five, weaken America. That's what they want to do. And the Democrats have already come out saying that if we get control of House and Senate in 2018, we're going to raise taxes. And of course, they'll put a loophole in there where they don't have to pay the taxes. But that's what frustrates many of us Americans. You know, when we see people like Nancy Pelosi say, oh, I'm not talking about my $100 million net worth. We're talking about income equality. I would love to be a press reporter and ask her, okay, yeah, I got a question for you. Because if I had the network you have, which is $100 million, making the money you make a year as a congressman or senator, I would be investigated by the IRS. Why aren't you? That's what I'd say. But that's why, like, when Harvey Weinstein was indicted by a grand jury on Wednesday, I want to see politicians held responsible. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see, folks. I love the fact that, like, with this North Korea thing, it's back off and on and off and on and off and on. And someone goes, oh, well, it's off again. Because, like, I remember as soon as Trump canceled, like, here you go again. Now we're going to, what's he going to do? Like, a week later, he's just going to call for the bombing of North Korea? I'm like, no. I said, because after I was talking to somebody, I said, if you listen to my conversation, this is what I said. I'm waiting to hear. I'm waiting to see what North Korea does. Because until their people are free and can go and do what they want, I don't know what's happening. He supposedly wants to start a burger thing for his people. I don't know what to make of him unless he feels like, okay, we have nothing. We're being cut off by everything. You know, I'm running out of ways to get stuff for myself. Who knows? Maybe they see that their people are starting to realize how screwed they're getting it, so they're trying to, hey, we're going to give you something. We're going to give you little bits. We're still going to control you and run your life and own you, but hey. This is just pretty cool. You know, the United States, high-ranking officials in the military, some of the generals and stuff, say that the U.S. Marines killed more than 70 Taliban leaders in Afghanistan. Love that, you know, they're still there. Like George Bush said, you know, there's Al-Qaeda. There's more than one terrorist group. There's more than one group. Hell, even George Soros doesn't like us and wants us gone and does everything in his power to try to sink the American economy. But it's nice to see that we're doing something, that we're taking out some of their high-ranking officials and we're doing something with people that want us dead. It's nothing against any one group, but, I mean, when people don't like you and want your country dead and your people gone, something has to be done. We have to fight them. We have to go after them. We have to attack them. Because what they will do is, okay, we're done. Yep, you know, they'll stop fighting. They'll quit everything. Okay, everything's peaceful in this country again. Then we leave, and then they rebuild, and next thing you know, they're 10 times worse. No one wants to be at war, but you can't sit there and not do anything and let these people regroup and regain and control and then try to take us out. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, and I hope you guys take action and do stuff and take what I say and run with it. And it doesn't surprise me, but having Hillary Clinton run Facebook, Lord, help. Well, because, you know, since 90% of the people get their news from Facebook, well, guess what? Well, I want to run it so I can control the information and control what you hear and what you see. I mean, Facebook already tries to do that now. But You know, that's what the Clintons tried to do when they were in office. They tried to control everything about everything and control you and run you. It's sad. I mean, this is even worse, you know, because I talk about this a lot where, you know, Nancy Pelosi has a huge brick wall around her house, but doesn't want a wall at the border. Oh, we got to have sanctuary cities, you know. I mean, what has an illegal immigrant done? I mean, you're going to deport, you're going to arrest an illegal immigrant. He hasn't done anything illegal, except for come here illegal. A twice deported man, allegedly on drugs, with a 2-year-old daughter in his car, kills a Texas 17-year-old in a crash, police say. Brittany Bizzy was killed in a car crash on May 27th. Eddie Lopez Hernandez faces charges, including murder, from the Houston Police Department. A man who killed a 17-year-old has been twice deported, now is finally behind bars. Eddie Lopez Hernandez, 27, was charged with murder, intoxication, assault, and failure to stop and render aid in connection with a crash after he crashed into a vehicle carrying a 17-year-old Brittany Bazee. B-A-E-Z, and her family on Saturday. The police department of Houston has said that Hernandez fled the scene of the crash with his 2-year-old son in the car, who was they both witnessed this. He didn't do anything. He was high on drugs. And Brittany's daughter, Nicole, told KTRK that she was in the back seat with her sister when the car slammed into the rear vehicle they were traveling in. They were on their way, and when we stopped at the light, they're based on their way, and bang, right in the back, hit them. And this is someone that, you know, we have laws for a reason. You know, we don't have borders for nothing. If you don't want to have a wall or don't want to have any type of, just work in the restaurant business for a while. And I guarantee you, after about 20 some years, like I've been in it, you'll have had many opportunities to see a police officer come into the restaurant with some American. Who's this guy? Well, he's my dishwasher. Yeah, well, he's used my name, my social security number. He's filed taxes, everything. But you want to have a sanctuary city and protect these people and keep them away from ICE? I don't get it. I don't understand. Maybe someone out there understands why we need sanctuary cities, why we need someone deported 4 or 5 times that kills people. Oh, Kyle, you can't group everyone. Oh, no, they're not all. There are great people that come here illegally. How great are they if they're here illegally? They broke the law. See, the problem we have in this world, a big problem. When my ancestors came here to this country, okay, in the house, they spoke Polish or Russian or Ukrainian. Outside the house, you spoke English. You were proud to be an American. You didn't. My ancestors didn't come to this country taking a Polish flag or a Russian flag and waving it and going, yeah, we're Poland. But then, you know, like all these Mexicans do, they come here to America and all they do is, it's Mexico, Mexico, Mexico. This is bull crap because, you know, I come here to this country and they need to learn Spanish. Why should I have to come to America and learn English? Why should I have to support the American flag? I'm Mexican. Well, if you're Mexican, you need to go to Mexico. If you love Mexico and are that much, why don't you go back there? You never hear Democrats saying, hey, why don't we work together to make, why don't we make it so that Mexicans want to go back to Mexico and make their country better, make it great? Maybe if they stand up and say, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. We're tired of getting paid 2 cents an hour. Maybe if their people come together and have a civil war and say, hey, we're not going to take this. Maybe they might get somewhere. Oh, you're just a racial bigot because, no, I love Mexicans. I love immigrants that come here legally, that go through the process and become a legal citizen and do it the right way. I don't like people that come here to use someone else's name, someone else's social security number, file tax returns in their name, steal identities. That's what I don't stand for. And is it going to take someone to have your identity stolen and have a tax return filled out? Because there's a good chance if you try to fill out your tax return 1 year and there's already a tax return claimed in your name, good chance it's probably an illegal. It could be a criminal, but more than likely it's an illegal filling out a tax return in your name. Or trying to anyways. You know? I guess it goes back to that lady that was 100% for the, like the you choose bathroom where if you think you're a woman, you use the men, you can use whatever bathroom you feel your gender is. And then found out that when she went into the bathroom one time and a guy walked in there dressed as a guy and used the bathroom. And basically she found out, well, if you think you're a woman, you can go into the bathroom. You don't have to have long hair. You don't have to dress like a woman. You don't have to have painted nails. You don't have to have a bra on or put, like, you know, toilet paper in there so it looks like you got breasts. You don't have to do anything. The way I'm a guy, thing, you know. See, I'm the minority now because I'm a guy and I'm married to a woman. But if I was to walk into the bathroom dressed like a man, into the woman's bathroom, well, I think I'm a woman, but, you know, I dress like a man, though. Guess what, folks? She flipped out. Well, I thought you had to, like, want to be a woman and dress like one. And no. If you think you're a woman, you think you're a woman. You don't have to have, there's no reasoning behind it. Like, I work in the kitchens, and what the state of Indiana says, you have to wear a beard guard if your beard is deemed combable. Well, what does combable mean? They don't give an inch or a centimeter or we don't give a length. They say if your beard's combable, you have to wear a, well, what does combable mean? I guess, I don't know. But my point is, there's no real justification for what deems you thinking you're a woman to use the bathroom. And when that lady went in there and basically saw a guy just walk right in there that had no, didn't look like a woman at all. Hey, I just think I'm a woman, so hey, that's why I'm coming here. I'm using the bathroom. Hey, Obama said I could. She flipped out. And it's going to take that. It's going to take somebody to have their identity stolen by an illegal before they do something, before they realize what. I wish I knew. I'd be like, hey, what I'm going to do, buddy, you're illegal. Great, because I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you find Democrats that you can steal their identity from so that when they find out their identity was stolen so an illegal can use it, maybe that'll wake them up. Because for some reason we have a notion in this country that because I'm against illegal immigrants in this country, not legal, illegals, I'm racist, I'm a bigot, I hate immigrants. And someone said that to me one time. I'm like, where did I say I'm against immigrants? You said you don't like Mexicans. I said illegals. People that come here illegally that are stealing Social Security. How do you think they're getting taxes? How do you think they're getting a job? If they're getting a job, they have to pay taxes. They have to use some sort of social security number. It's not, it's a factor of, I have no problem with immigrants. My family and my grandma and stuff are immigrants. It is, they did it the legal way. I don't know any of my native tongues like Polish or Ukrainian or Slovak or Russian because you didn't learn that. You came to America, you learned English. You flew the American flag. You were proud to be an American. Now you come to this country as an immigrant and it's like, okay, you will learn your native tongue first. If you ever learn English, who cares? You will wave our nation's flag, not the American flag. You will support your flag, you know. Then why did you come here if you don't want to embrace any of the cultural ideals and the language of the people? I'm not going to move to France with my wife and say, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, you guys need to learn English. My wife don't speak French. Sorry. This is bull crap. Yeah, we're going to wave the American flag because we're not going to, you know, we're not going to stand up. No, we're American. America, 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 you know. Though we moved here, we're 100% about America. Screw France. No. If I was to move to France, I would learn their language because I know some of it, but I'd learn it way better. I would follow their traditions, their belief system. You know what, you know, I would be proud to be a French person. I would embrace the flag. I wouldn't go there and demand them to follow everything. Okay, yeah, no, see, I'm not going to follow that because I'm an American and we don't do that in America. No. When you're in Rome, do as the Romans. But not in America. Everyone comes here, expects us to follow. Yeah, I'm Muslim, so I'm used to Sharia law, so you're going to have that here for me because I'm offended. Okay, man. You're going to have to, if you want to have Sharia law, you're going to have to talk to those atheists over there who don't believe in any religion. Yeah, they'll help you out. Yeah, that atheist group over there, yeah, they'll help you get Sharia law here because they're against all religions. You know, there was a time when you came here, you were proud to be an American and you embraced it. Not anymore. Now you come here and we're the assholes. We're the racists because we want them to embrace the country that they're coming to and that they're wanting to live in. Yeah. Like I said before, I could respect Colin Kaepernick if he would say, you know, I have a wife. I have a mom and dad that are white and they gave me the opportunity, you know, and he did it the right way. And he said, you know, yeah, there's some Down syndrome people that they don't seem to get the same opportunities as everyone else. There are people in this country that don't get the same opportunities because they're disabled. Just because they're in a wheelchair doesn't mean they can't do certain jobs. You know? And if we would have done it the right way, we could have stood behind him. But he didn't do it the right way, just like these illegals. Okay. That's how it is in this world we live in, folks, because I mean, I want to get into this one because this is like beyond ridiculous. A Pennsylvania teen was told she can't graduate with her army sash on because it didn't match the school colors. High school senior was told not to wear army sash. What I would have done is I would have had a sash made of the exact same colors, but without the army on it, and see if someone gets away with wearing it. That way, you could. Can you give me that exact same sash she has, but don't put the army stuff on it? That way, I want to see if someone can get away wearing it. And if they wear it, then say, hey, it's the exact same except for that Army insignia, which I really think is bull crap. Toni Kress and her father, Wayne, said that Toni will respect the school's rules and not wear the sash, but Wayne still says he disagrees with the school's decision. See, if that was my daughter, I'd be like, you're wearing that sash. I don't care. What does the not matching colors have to do with anything? I've seen people that get like the honorary diplomas and stuff, and they put like a sash around their neck that goes behind them, and the thing doesn't even come close to matching the color of the gown that they have on. I think it's just, you know, you don't want to sit there and see you up there promoting that you're in the military, that you're going to do Army and all this crap, this ROTC stuff. They, you know, that's where this country is. You know, we want to take and, you know, oh, we can't see you're in the military. Nah, you support the military. No, we can't. I don't. It's just more bull crap from the left. You know, it's just like all these kids that have like pro Trump stuff on, and they're sitting there saying, "Wait a minute, oh, you're gonna have to turn that shirt inside out." I'd be like, man, if that would have happened, if that was me, I'd have been like, we'd have to kiss my ass. See, but it's a different time era, though, because I don't remember any kids wearing Reagan stuff. We didn't think about politics. When I was 8 or 9 years old, we didn't think about politics. We didn't sit there and like, Reagan, man, Reagan. You see these little Mexicans that are like 8, 9 years old, they're like, F Trump. What do you know one way or the other about Trump? At your age. When I was at the age of some of these kids that were telling, like on camera, like F Trump, hold my posters. When I was their age, I'd be like, guess what I got? A 64 count Crayola crayon set with a built-in sharpener. I'm going to be on my dad's architect drafting board drawing all day. That was our generation. I never thought about politics when I was 8 or 9 years old.
I didn't even know who president or what a president was when I was 8 years old.
Or nine. And these kids are like, vote Trump, F Trump. But it's a different time. Now you got kids that think they know what's going on. I mean, I still look up stuff that, you know, there's still stuff about Trump I don't know. I mean, hey, Trump slams Sessions for Russia recusal and wishes he didn't appoint him and had a different attorney general. When he basically came out the one day and said, you know what? Yeah, no one that's a good person smokes pot. So, yeah, I'm like, okay, nope, I hate you. But when he did that, I'm like, okay, I've lost all respect for the man because he didn't know anything. You know, Trump is finally like, hey, if I would have known this stuff, I wouldn't have hired him. I think Trump maybe should get rid of him. I don't know if he's legally allowed to say, hey,
yeah,
then he needs to fire him.
Yep.
And that's the thing I see. Sorry if you have an actual president that's doing his job and saying, hey, he's not doing his job, I'm going to fire him. Can you believe, look at this. People coming and going all the time. He has people in this cabinet like a revolving door. Well, you know what? If this guy is lying, cheating, and stealing, you get rid of him. You know, he's basically hiring people. And when they live up to the expectation you expect, great. If they don't, get rid of them. Sorry if he's actually doing his job and saying, hey, this guy's a Russian spy. You know, if he hired someone in his administration and you find out later that this guy is basically, you know, selling secrets to the Russians, should he get rid of him? Yes. But, you know, all these liberals, I've heard people say, well, yeah, all I see with Trump is he goes back and forth and back, like he gets rid of this person, gets this one. Well, that's the view of a good president, doing something right or wrong. You know, if the guy's doing a great job, you keep him. If he's not, you get rid of him. Common sense. But if you haven't heard, if you have a terminal illness or, you know, I'm dying or my wife is dying or this or that, Trump has passed the Right to Try bill, which basically allows you to bypass clinical trials, and you can say, hey, I want to, this medicine is showing promise for this disease. I'm dying. It's my only hope. And you'll be able to get access to medications, including cannabis, if it's a last ditch effort. Now, it's not really technically legalizing anything like cannabis or anything, because you would have to be almost terminally ill to where, like, I'm going to die anyway, so this is my last hope. And if you meet all the criteria, then you'll be able to streamline the process so you can get cancer treatments or treatments that are not FDA approved yet. And I'm going to die anyways. So if I have a side effect that kills me, oh, well, I was going to die anyways. This is showing promise. I don't want to wait 15 years for that. I can't wait that long. Yeah, we'll go ahead and let you try it. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, that, I mean, there's a lot of people that say in 5 years they believe that the cannabis will be federally decriminalized. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see if that does come about. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. But it's just neat that we have an avenue moving forward that if you're terminally ill, you can have access to it. I mean, like, not many, like I say this a lot of time, there's this investigational new drug program that Irvin Rosenfeld is a part of, and I've been wanting to write him to see if I can get him on the program. And because I had someone that goes, well, I don't know how you can be pro pot, that is so dangerous, that's so deadly. I'm like, well, have you ever heard of Irvin Rosenfeld? And they said, what? Who? I said, Irvin Rosenfeld. He's a part of the new investigational drug program. I said, never heard of it. And I said, yeah, since 1982, he's been getting 300 marijuana cigarettes grown at Ole Miss, shipped to North Carolina, where it's rolled in the cigarette form, freeze-dried in a tin. And he gets one of those every month and has since 1982. And there was a guy, I forget his name, before that, who in 1978 sued the federal government and won the right to use it. There are 5 people known in the program. Bill Clinton had it shut down. Because they don't want to show how safe it is. It's going to be interesting to see how this bill works, if I'm terminally ill, is it something like, where since I'm terminally ill, I want to try this, will I have to go through hoops to get it? Will it take how long? We don't know how long it's going to take. It's supposed to streamline the process, so if you want to try something that's really new and an investigational type medication, you know, it's supposed to streamline it so you can get it quicker, faster, and all this stuff, so. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So, I'm excited to see where that goes. And I honestly see more states and more cities coming out and saying, hey, guess what, folks? I don't see any of the destructive problems or anything bad that they said would happen because of legalizing cannabis. I don't see massive problems in California. I don't see massive problems in Colorado and all these states where it's legal. And I see it becoming more accepted, more the demonization. I look at the demonization of cannabis like the FLDS, the Fundamental Latter-day Saints, or like the North Koreans, where they're so indoctrinated. They've been told for so many years that the dear leader, he gives us everything, that if you were to suddenly give them freedom, I don't think they'd know what to do, because, you know, I don't have photos of any of my family. All I have are photos of the dear leader. And I love every one of them. They're all my favorites. You know, like, there are people that when they leave, when they escape from the FLDS, they still, you know, John Daniel Kingston, he is still like Jesus Christ to them, because they've been so indoctrinated their whole life. And I think it's going to take a long time for a good 75% of Americans or higher to get over the fact that the cannabis has been demonized into their head, that it's dangerous, it's deadly, that smoking one joint's like the equivalent of like a carton of unfiltered cigarettes and stuff, and there's no good things that come out of it. You can't be a successful person and smoke it. You can't achieve anything in life and use it. I think it's going to be a while before that demonization comes to a head, and people, well, it's all the stuff they said all these years is BS. So that's how I see it. So we'll have to wait and see, you know. I want to thank you all so much for tuning into the conversation. I hope you feel a part of. And I hope you do. And I want to get into some amazing, amazing Premier League news and football news from around the world. If you haven't heard by now, if you're on Mars. Yep. Zinedine Zidane, at the shock of the whole world, and even the owner and the president of Real Madrid, has stepped down as the head coach after 3 dominating years at the top. What does this mean for United? What does this mean for the world? There are fans at United that are like, okay, Ed Woodward, you need to make the move. Get rid of Jose Mourinho and get Zinedine Zidane, please. You know, I don't think it's going to happen, but is Gareth Bale, I honestly think he would probably be more tempted to stay at Real Madrid. And Cristiano Ronaldo would be more tempted to leave Real Madrid, you know, because he's 33 years old, you know. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know if just because he's leaving, it doesn't mean that Ronaldo is going to leave or Gareth Bale. It's not like, okay, great, Zinedine Zidane's gone, so Bale and Real, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo is going to leave Real Madrid now because he's leaving. You know, I don't see that. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be before the World Cup, before they decide. So.
More important, Everton, Marco Sevilla.
Marco Sevilla
is the new manager.
I think it's a good decision for Everton, my wife's favorite team. So, it's one of those things that this, with the World Cup and everything going on, you know, Ronaldo's going to be in the World Cup, and they'll probably wait. If he wants to leave, they'll probably wait till after the World Cup, and pray to God he has a great, great, great World Cup so that they can try to get more money from him. Okay, you want Real, you want Cristiano Ronaldo, you're going to pay. Look at what he did in the World Cup. You know, I think Cristiano Ronaldo is more a player that would leave a Real Madrid. And, you know, I think a Bale, he's got 4 more years left, probably barring injury, and I think he would be more apt to stay. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, though. I mean, because I still think Fred is going to come to United. I think Fred is a done deal at United. I think Milinkovic-Savage is a done deal. Marco Silva, I think as Everton's manager, I think he's going to do a great job. You know, he's going to be demanding in every moment as the Everton manager. He was the former Estoril Sporting Lisbon Olympiacos, Hull City and Watford manager. Has promised to be demanding to his players, staff, and to himself. And he's someone that he wants to win. He wants to be successful. He doesn't want to settle for anything less. And I think that's something that that team needs. They have this. They've had very good. They've had a. They had what I wish United had, because United was always like up and down and up and down and up. And I'd rather have them been in fourth place and been consistent throughout the season. And Everton, I think, was consistent throughout the season. So I think Marco Silva, I think, is going to be a great choice. He's young. He's energetic. He's demanding. He's going to get the most out of the players. And he's one that wants to be there and show people, hey, let me show you. Let me, you know, where someone like Mourinho was like, you should already know what you're doing. You're on, if you're United, I shouldn't have to mentor you. I shouldn't have to babysit you. You know, well, some of the players at United, you know, Alex Ferguson would have put his arm around you, but he would have been a hard ass too. Okay, this is what I demand on the pitch. I can tell you, I can give you the game plan all day long, a 4-3-3, whatever. I can give you the game plan. But it's up to you to execute it. And I do think that's what, like, Marco Silva, I think he's going to be someone that's going to be like, hey, you know, I want to see, okay, this is what I'm going to give to the club. What are you going to give the club back in return? I want to see you on the pitch. I want to see heart. I want to see drive. I want to see blood, sweat, and tears. And I think when I heard Jose Mourinho talk at one of the press conferences near the end, he kind of implemented, he kind of said, hey, I'm the manager, but you guys aren't, I can tell you what to do all day long, but if you're not, I don't see the heart, I don't see the drive. And that's what I think a lot of us feel as fans with United especially, is okay, when Roy Keane would come down the hall before going out the pitch, you know, when he came into the Old Trafford, he took his shirt off, ripped his heart out, put his jersey on. Okay. And if someone got hurt, yeah, he'll put his heart in a little bit. You're all right. Once he knows you're okay, rips his heart back out. There you go. And we haven't seen that type of passion from a lot of United players. And I think there are some players from, like, Everton's team that, you know, and some of these other teams that have that. That's why they were consistent. I would have rather been fourth place and been a consistent team.
Everton went from 15th to 14th, and they went up to 8th or 7th.
Yeah, they moved up. And Marco Silva, I think, is only going to improve them further. You got to... And that's with a manager change. I mean, a manager can only do so much. When you're on the pitch...
A manager isn't out there playing on the pitch.
Yeah. That's why I never understood Louis van Gaal, because he never believed that he could influence his players on... Like if he's on the sidelines, he was never... Bobby Knight always believed, okay, I'll get onto that sideline. I'll throw a chair. I'll do whatever. I'm going to motivate you. You know, he believed he could motivate your butt.
Don't throw a chair like Bobby Knight. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. But you have Louis van Gaal that was like, he had that belief that he couldn't affect the team at all. You know, no, you need to be out there saying, move your butt. And, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see who Real Madrid goes for. Because, I mean, when you heard the press conferences today, they were all translated. So I listened to the one in French, I listened to one in English, and both of them, you just heard this, like, he's resigning? Like, where did, like, they had no, this came out of nowhere. Wow, I got about 2 minutes left in the program, folks. I'm going to thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation. I hope you're a part of it. And it's really shaking things up because, of course, when Zinedine Zidane says he's leaving, instantly everyone's like, well, we're going to get Ronaldo and Zidane. You know, we're going to get, since Zidane's leaving, we're going to get Ronaldo and Bale. Well, there's no guarantee they're going to go anywhere. They may not go anywhere. Who knows? See, got about 90 seconds left in the program, so I want to thank you for tuning in. It's just going to be, it's interesting because we got the World Cup and, you know, so it's going to be interesting with to see what happens in the transfer window and a lot of the good transfers, I don't think. So a lot of really, really good transfers for the players are going to be in the World Cup. They're going to actually wait for the World Cup to try to get rid of them. So hopefully they have a stellar World Cup so they can increase the price, you know. But I still think Milinkovic-Savage is coming to United. I still think Fred is coming to United, you know. Whether it's Ronaldo or Bale, I don't know. I would take either. I'd take Ronaldo over Bale, but I don't want to take either of them if it means getting rid of Martial, you know. So I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of and hope you wake up and smell the roses. And remember, folks, in the divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and a sacred honor. Until next Tuesday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.